off with music performed by the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet.
With me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Patty Holland and Christine Balfa, here to talk about the Shake Your Trail Feather Festival. It is a part of the TESH project, and it's just a gathering part of the whole excitement about the TESH. You know, there's so much talk about the TESH now, and y'all's organization is really very responsible for that. So before we talk specifically about Shake Your Trail Feather, that's going to be on October 20th. Maybe just remind us about the TESH project and what the mission of it is.
Okay. The TESH project is a nonprofit organization that's primary objective is to raise community awareness of the ecological, historical, and cultural values of the Bayou TESH.
And remind people a little bit of some of those values. What is, you know, those of us who maybe don't live right near the TESH, why is it such an important waterway?
Oh, the TESH has a long history going back to the Chittimachas, the old settlements that, you know, from the cotton industry back in the plantation days, and then the Civil War history. It's steeped with cultural history, and it's really a valuable, you know, the old steamships used to run up the TESH, and, you know, it was the primary navigation source, you know, before there were roads.
I know, that's really something, it's interesting to think about now because our landscape has changed so much. We use roads and we see it so differently than they must have back then. People seeing it from the rivers and the bayous, their sense of our landscape was so different. Mm-hmm. Have y'all ever found any old photos of some of the boats, the steamboats going up the TESH?
Actually, I was talking to someone in New Iberia recently, and they've actually unearthed an old steamboat recently, and there's the Bayou TESH Museum there, and they've got, you know, an artifact from that, and they're doing some research on it, and it's very interesting.
Wow, more things like that may come to light. Mm-hmm. So if anyone out there does have an old family photograph maybe of someone arriving on a steamboat up the TESH, that would be great to see some of those. So it's been an important waterway culturally, historically, anthropologically here in Louisiana. And what's happened to it? Why are you all so involved in the TESH? What does it need?
Okay. Over the years, there's been a lot of development on the TESH, a lot of houses and industry and such. And, what happens in our yards when the river comes up, or the bayous come up and the rains come, ends up floating into the Tesh. And so it has, you know, a good deal of garbage. And one of our groups, the Cajuns for the Bayou Tesh, is working periodically to go out and clean up the Tesh and doing a really good job. They got an E-Town Award, which we're very proud
absolutely.
Of.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's one of the things we do. And, you know, just to raise awareness of what goes in your yard can end up in the waterways. And aside from that, we're promoting low-impact recreational opportunities, and that's part of the Shake Your Trail Feather Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And promoting the historical value, and we've got an application with Wildlife and Fisheries, the state agency, to look at possible designation as a historic river.
Well, you're a really active group.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wanted to give people a sense of that, of the scope of your activities and interests in this waterway. And, of course, this week there's a lot of excitement surrounding the Tour de Tesh, and a lot of people signed up for that and very excited about it. It's been growing every year, making people even more aware of that waterway.
Mm-hmm.
So Shake Your Trail Feather. This is the first annual, you hope. What's going to happen? That's going to be on the 20th. That's a Saturday from noon until 6 o'clock. What kinds of activities are you going to have?
Well, this is the first year, and it seemed like you said earlier, Judith, that this organization is doing so many wonderful things, and now there's more awareness. But I first started getting involved about a year ago, and I couldn't believe all the great things that these people were doing and that they were trying to make these paddle trails and doing all these low-impact recreational things. And I thought, this is so exciting. People need to know about this. People need to know, you know, let's create awareness. And, of course, instantly I thought, well, let's have a festival. And I said, you know, combining what y'all are doing with music. And so we came up, you know, I came up with the idea, Shake Your Trail Feather, because just for fun. And so we're going to be doing our first one October 20th. And we're going to have Roddy Romero and the Hub City All-Stars playing, and David Egan, 20 Years of Trouble, and then my girlfriend band, Bonsoir Catin, is playing. We're going to have another workshop stage where Louisiana Folk Roots is going to facilitate interviews with people that can tell you more about the waterways and just the historical value of Bayou Tesh. There's also many other activities that day.
Yes, we've got a kayak for raffle that Pack and Paddle provided. We've got one of the outfitters, Bayou Tesh Experience, is going to be doing free kayak lessons. And there's a paddle excursion in the morning before that. And let's see, there'll be food and beverages and merchandise and all the things that mm-hmm. you see at the festival. One other thing that we're doing is we're inviting our partner organizations to come and do displays and show what they've been doing with the Bayou Tesh.
And where is it taking place?
It's taking place at Parc des Ponts de mm-hmm. Pont-Breau, which is a mouthful. But everybody, it's basically the park by the boat launch on the Tesh. It's mm-hmm. right on the Tesh. And one really cool feature is that the bands are going to be playing on the old swing bridge that's circa 1860. And it's going to be a real, you know, pleasurable event, beautiful location, big oak
trees. Yes, it is. You know, and I think a lot of people who have been to Breau Bridge haven't been to that park. You know, sometimes we'll go, you know, to the little shops or to eat. But there are a lot of people who still haven't been to that park. So this would be a great opportunity to experience it. I think, Christine, you're very excited about a CD you all are putting together with some musicians. And so very in keeping with this whole celebration idea and making people aware of the river and how much fun you can have doing it, actually. Tell us about that CD.
Well, we just thought it would be fun to help promote the event and maybe possibly sell benefit the Tesh project. So we asked, you know, musician friends of ours to do a local version of Ray Charles' Shake Your Tail Feather. And Dirk wrote the words talking about, using the words that you all use on your T-shirts, fix it, float it, come on, baby. Then, you know, heard the, well, we'll play a sample. It's a work in progress. But we had great musicians on it. Danny DeVille played drums. Dirk played bass. Sonny Landers played guitar. And Kevin Wimmer fiddle. And we had a lot of kids singing on it. And Roddy Romero is going to kind of do the final. He's playing accordion and singing. The Taco Sisters did some singing. And we had a little party Sunday at our house. And they brought food. And so we had a great time. And also Megan Berard and her cousin Callie did some singing. Right. And Tommy LeBlanc did some. And, so, and a lot of kids. So it was a fun project. Everybody
it's a great synergy that's bringing all this together.
Oh, it sounds like it. Yeah. All of these personalities and musicians helping with the Tesh Project, celebrating the river, and just wanting to ensure that it's there for all of us. So you have a segment. You just gave it to Cecil. What are we going to hear when he plays it?
Well, it's the song in progress, okay. Shake Your Trail Feather. And right. It's just for fun to kind of let people kind of a little synopsis of what we're doing.
Okay. Well, he's going to play it, and then we'll come back and talk a bit more about the festival.
Okay.
And that was Shake Your Trail Feather. I think that has national release possibilities, Christine, really. That is, of course, the version of the Ray Charles song, and it is celebrating the Shake Your Trail Feather Festival that is being put on by the Tesh Project. My guests, Christine Balfa and Patty Holland, here talking about that festival. And this is going to develop into a CD that you'll have for the festival, Christine?
I don't know if we'll have it for sale for the festival, but that's a very rough, rough version. And Dirk did it just so the girls would have something to listen to in the car. But
it's
going to be...
it's got some energy and celebration in there.
You can hear Roddy. You know, Roddy's going to go lay down some accordion and do some singing. We have a lot more adult singing in there, but we just did that for the kids to be able to hear.
Well, we'll look forward to the finished version, and hopefully for the second annual Shake Your Trail Feather, there will be there for that. So Shake Your Trail Feather, that's going to take place on Saturday, October 20th. It will be in Breaux Bridge at the Parc des Ponts in Breaux Bridge, and lots going on that day, including lots of information about what the Tesh Project is doing all along the Tesh. And how long do you all, I mean, the Tesh is a long river. Mm-hmm. Do you all limit your activities to a certain segment of it, or are you just...
No, actually, we're trying to get awareness and involvement for the 130 miles of the Tesh from Port Barry, basically, to Patterson. And, you know, there has been quite a bit of interest. And so one of the things about this festival is that we'd like to move it to a different community every year. So it'll basically be in the fall every year, but it might be in New Iberia next year.
A floating festival.
Yeah.
You could have a Tesh barge just kind of going from town to town. So it's a free festival, but it is a benefit for the Tour de Tesh, so you'll have things like pins. And
exactly.
Did someone design the pin?
Yes, we had a graphic artist design the pin, and we're going to sell the pins for $5, and we have T-shirts and other merchandise. We do want to bring people out. It's mainly to get our word out. So it is a free festival. But if people want to come and support our mission, then
there will be opportunities
to
do that. And the musicians again, Christine?
It's going to be Roddy Romero and the Hub City All Stars, David Egan and 20 Years of Trouble, and Bonsoir Catin.
All right, a great group of musicians all supporting the environment and our culture. And that will go from noon until 6 o'clock on Saturday the 20th. So a lot of good things going on in our community, so much festival, but people are up for it and happy for the good weather. And so I know they'll want to add the Shake Your Trail Feather Festival in there. Do you all have a website or a Facebook page?
Yes, we do. And you mentioned the good weather. We do have a backup plan in case of rain, and it'll be moved to the Buck and Johnny's Pizzeria. They've got a banquet room there, so people don't
stay away
because it's raining. the Tesh Project's email or website is teshproject.com. And
is there a Facebook page that you can sign up for too?
Yes, the Facebook page is actually we have two right now, but there's one called Bayou Tesh and the other one is Tesh Project.
So just search around in there and you'll come across it.
We're everywhere.
You're everywhere. All 130 miles of the Tesh. Again, my guests, Patty Holland and Christine Balfa with the Tesh Project, talking about their first annual Shake Your Trail Feather Festival that will be October 20th. You can find out more website and Facebook. Thank you both.
Thanks, Judith.
Thank you.
joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Gordon Brooks, who is Dean of the College of the Arts here at UL Lafayette, here to talk about the annual Beaux-Arts Ball that is happening this Friday, a part of Homecoming Week. Gordon, I mean,
it is.
I know it's an event that people look forward to every year, but it's even more wonderful yet this time that it's a part of the festivities in Homecoming Week.
That's right.
Well, tell us about the Beaux-Arts Ball. How did y'all come up with this?
Well, Beaux-Arts Balls are a commonplace. Mm-hmm. They are ubiquitous with colleges of arts or mm-hmm. arts organizations. It's a a historic party or festival that and it's converted really over time to be money fundraisers for arts organizations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so here we're doing it with the College of the Arts, because the College of the Arts is the cause that we're rallying around for this Beaux-Arts Ball this year. It's the third annual one, mm-hmm. and it's especially appropriate this year that it's during Homecoming Week, because red is our color. It's mm-hmm, it's a theme called Seeing Red. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine walking in, and I hope you can imagine walking into a sea of red, everything.
Swirling red dresses.
Everything
whirling around
red,
the dance floor. Well, when you talk about Beaux-Arts Ball, I think people think also sort of back to, Paris. And,
absolutely.
That time period in the 20s and maybe even before that.
Before then, it's mm-hmm. a historic ball dating back to the 1700s. And it came from the École des Beaux-Arts, mm-hmm. which was a traditional French a school of fine arts. École des Beaux-Arts means school of fine arts. Mm-hmm. And this was their big ball, their masque ball. And mm-hmm. it was well attended, and it's moved over. I was talking with Jerry Malinowski, who's coordinator of our industrial design program, just this morning. He said he went to a Beaux-Arts ball a few years back in Istanbul. Thousands of people showed up at a ball, and they are all to raise money for the arts in wherever they are, in New York City, they're like a rave when they get to be that size.
I imagine the costumes in Istanbul must have been fabulous.
I bet.
So costuming is a big part of, or dressing up.
Dressing up, mm-hmm. and many people will be in costume, but it's mm-hmm. mask. It's a mask.
Beautiful mask.
Beautiful mask, or unusual mask. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we'll have about 60 unusual masks designed by our first-year design students. Hector LaSalle and his team of faculty have working with seven sections, I believe, first year to design masks. And they'll pick out the best 60, and they'll be paraded. And then of that, the best 8 will stay and party the rest of the night with us.
All right. So they have a real objective in making a beautiful mask. They get to stay at the ball.
That's right.
So the students will be parading their own masks, and
absolutely.
Then they'll be chosen.
Yes.
Well, now, I assume that I seem to remember talking with you last year or the year before about your mask, and you had quite an ingenious mask.
Well, I don't have a mask exactly, but I do have a hat that I'm
hat.
Wearing.
That's
yes.
right, a hat.
And it's become a tradition. Mm-hmm. It's a top hat. Mm-hmm. But or derby, you might say, really, that has a little theater on the top with these G.I. Joe kind of characters that are lobbing I don't know what at the screen. And then I have a little movie screen running pictures of things that have happened this
on
past year. On the hat. leave it to me to do something kind of high-tech on it.
Well, when can you get creative if not at a Beaux-Arts ball?
That's right.
So,
and my graduate assistant at the time, Sarah Young, helped me put it together. So she's probably the genius behind it.
So people wait for this hat and for the little movies that you have running. Right. What have been some of the masks that have won in the past? Can you describe some of the...
Well, we've had everything from feather masks to, I remember Jim Morvant came once. Our theme was reuse and renew. And he had taken the leftovers from the last 2 days of garbage that didn't stink, I guess, and glued it onto a mask. And it was gorgeous. It was great for him and his guests. So it's pretty interesting to see what people come up with, especially given a theme and then given all the creative people that come to this ball. So it's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention... we're also having an auction associated with it, because it is a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And so the ticket sales, of course, are part of the fundraising, but also the auction. And most of it will be silent auction. We'll have about 3 live auction items. But most of it is silent auction, and most of it is art. And I've gotten a glimpse of it. You can go online to our website, arts.louisiana.edu, and then click on the ball itself, and then you can mm-hmm. click on the website to get to the Flickr site where you can see the actual art that's going to be auctioned. And it's magnificent and really wonderful artists, a full range from, you know, a classic pave print all the way to, you know, a beautiful painting by Richard Gula.
So most of these are Louisiana artists.
Absolutely. They're all local, local or regional artists.
I think we've been announcing throughout the week that there are some up in the Dean's Gallery in Fletcher right now. So you can go there if you get a chance to come on campus and go up in that gallery and take a look at some of them.
Yeah.
Or go to the Flickr site, as you mentioned.
You sure can.
So lots of art and creativity will be available on Friday at the Beaux-Arts Ball.
That's right.
Tickets are available now.
They are. And the easiest way to get, you can call the office at 482-6224, and we can take your order. But you can also go directly on that website, arts.louisiana.edu, and click through to the Eventbrite site where you can actually purchase a ticket, similar to Ticketmaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an automated way of doing it to put in your card. But you can also call the office, and we can take your order as well.
Okay. So lots of ways to get tickets for the Beaux-Arts Ball. Again, my guest, if you are just tuning in, is Gordon Brooks. He is Dean of the College of the Arts, talking about the annual Beaux-Arts Ball that is being held this week, which is also homecoming week.
That's
here
right.
on the UL Lafayette campus. And a reminder to those people who may have not heard you talking about the College of the Arts before, give us a sense of the scope of what people are helping
this ball. Well, the College of the Arts includes all of the design arts of architecture, interior design, and industrial design, sometimes called product design, but also all the visual arts, as well as the musical arts and performing arts of theater and dance. So it's a pretty broad range of disciplines represented in the college. There are three principal things that the money goes for, and the main one is through scholarships and travel fellowships for our students to go to their conferences. So that's really basically the motivation of all this, is to try to provide the kind of resources that we don't get from the state mm-hmm. for those special things that go to students and to faculty. I also want to mention, too, that we've themed it red, and seeing red, but we also are honoring a special guest this year, Ray McIntyre, who is a special, he's a digital effects artist and supervisor. I was told recently that he's not a special effects artist the way we call it. Those people blow things up.
Right.
But visual effects artists mm-hmm. or supervisors actually add things sometimes, or they do take things away, mm-hmm. like if you have a stop sign in a movie, and who doesn't on any street corner, and it's a period movie and that's not the right sign or don't want the sign, they can remove it. And you never even know it's there.
And not physically.
That's right.
They do it digitally.
Mm-hmm. And he just got through finishing a movie that's shot in New Orleans, but the setting for the movie is Washington, D.C. So all of the landmarks in D.C. have to be added to the scenes. So he's just, right now as we talk, he's coming back from Washington, D.C., where he shot the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the White House, and all those landmarks that will be added digitally into this movie, which is just finished wrapping from New Orleans. So that's the kind of thing he does. But more importantly, for us anyway, he is a co-owner and the originator of the movie company called Pixel Magic. And Pixel Magic is a special digital effects firm that has its offices in Hollywood, but also at LIGHT.
The Light Center here in Lafayette.
Right. And as a matter of fact, I was out to Hollywood to see his operation a few months ago, and he admitted that he had more employees in Louisiana here at Light than he did in Hollywood. So it was amazing. But what they do at this particular branch, you might say, because he's got three. He's got one in Canada and Vancouver, one in Hollywood, and one here. And what they've principally done here is convert 2D movies to 3D. And it's a remarkable operation to see that. How that's done is just a miracle.
Have students in the College of the Arts had the opportunity to visit over there?
Not only visit, they've done internships, but also the majority of his employees here, and at the height of his doing the last movie, which was Deathly Hallows, as part of the Harry Potter series, the majority of the employees were UL graduates from our computer animation and digital media program.
What an amazing opportunity for them.
From the College of the Arts.
Well, again, you all are honoring this person. It sounds like he has done a lot for the College of the Arts and the students.
Yeah.
And
his name is Ray McIntyre, Jr. And again, you don't know his name, but you certainly know his work.
I've seen his work.
Yeah,
and obviously the work now of you all graduates, too.
That's right. That's right.
Dean Gordon Brooks is here with he is with the College of the Arts talking about their annual Beaux-Arts Ball. They will honor this man and also help to raise funds for scholarships for students in the College of the Arts. Of course, all students need scholarships, but every time I talk to a student in music or arts, they spend so many hours in the studio and practicing, and it's hard for them to have outside jobs.
That's
right. So scholarships really make it possible for them.
Make a difference. And also, some of our majors are very expensive. The materials for a visual artist or for an architecture or an interior design student are phenomenal, with model building and paintings and ceramics and so forth. So this really helps them quite a bit.
All right, and helps them in their future careers.
Indeed.
You can buy tickets now for the Beaux-Arts Ball, which is going to be this Friday. The theme is Seeing Red. So you can costume in red or create your masks or top hats like Dean Brooks.
Indeed.
In red. Are you going to add red to your hat this year?
I am. I am.
Okay. Well, you'll have to go to the ball to find out how.
That's right.
Dean Brooks adds red to his annual top hat. And, of course, there are the students parading with their masks, and there's a competition for the best masks. You'll get to see some beautiful masks.
And we'll have competition amongst the guests, too. So we have five different prizes that we'll give for that.
Okay, so be creative with red or Seeing Red. Something
Indeed.
To do with that as well. That is the Beaux-Arts Ball put on annually by the College of the Arts here at UL Lafayette. Tickets, again, available through the College of the Arts, the website, or by calling your office.
Call in the office at 482-6224.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming by, and we hope that you put a photograph maybe of that hat on the College of the Arts website.
All right. Thank you, Judith.
thank you
for having me.
And joining me in the KRVS studios now is Joseph Butts, a musician, graduate of UL. In fact, just ran into the dean of the College of the Arts, who used to be your dean here
That's
at
great.
UL Lafayette.
That's great.
You are now a working musician as well as a teacher. in our community. Where do you teach?
I teach for Lafayette Parish Schools. I work in the Talented Arts Department, which is under special education, sort of paired with gifted. But we work with exceptional music students who go through a very intensive screening process. And as a result, get to work with working artists and or teacher artists once a week.
And they also came in our studios. I believe y'all brought some of them, some of the guitar students a while back.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was really nice having them.
It's a great job, great students.
All right. In addition to that, which, as we all know, is a very busy schedule, being a teacher, you are a musician, and you work with a number of groups in this area.
That's right.
Some more regularly, and then you have these wonderful opportunities to work with visiting musicians. And we'll have an opportunity to hear such a group this Friday at Cité des Arts. I know you're really happy that musician saxophone player Dave Rempus is coming.
That's right. I guess it's being titled Jazz Off Jefferson, and it's actually 8 o'clock this Friday, the 5th. Some press releases, I guess, we had a little mix up, and some said 9:30. So it is at 8. Something canceled, and I think that's a good time. You know, it's a lot of people can get out to that a little earlier than we normally play.
Definitely.
So yeah, I'm really excited. David Rempus is he's a great saxophonist from Chicago who's played with all around the world, and you know, we're going to be also have some musicians from New Orleans.
Well, and you were here with, you were playing with that group not too long ago. Jeff Albert was
right.
here.
Jeff Albert, who's Lafayette, former Lafayette
Como graduate.
Right? Mm-hmm. And also the drummer, Marcelo, he's actually from Venice, I believe, by way of New Orleans. You know, myself, so by way of quite a few places.
But for a long time here in Lafayette. And also, I do have to mention to our audience that you did a program on KRVS at one time, a jazz program.
In the Groove.
Yeah, it was a wonderful show. Hopefully when you have a little bit of time, you might come back and do another show.
A little bit.
Well, tell us about Dave Rempus. You know, saxophone players can play a wide variety of music. How would you describe his playing and his style of music?
Well, adventurous. He's known as a jazz musician, an improviser, but the type of music, at least, that we'll be playing this Friday, we won't be calling standards or, you know, Duke Ellington tunes or Tin Pan Alley songs or anything like that. We are going to freely improvise and possibly play some if something is brought up that day. But it's not going to be a pre-planned thing where we're just going to sort of play tunes from the 30s or 40s. It's going to be highly improvised on all levels. I should say, you know, a lot of different types of jazz, you know, there's a lot of structure and things that are sort of more or less pre-planned, and then things that are parts of it that are improvised. Well, this will be farther away from that than you know, most things. So I won't know what happens until we do it.
Well, now, you've played with Jeff Albert and Marcelo Bonetti before.
I have not played with
Marcelo. Okay.
Or so David.
Two people in this group you haven't played with. How does that work? I mean, for those of us who are not musicians, that seems like a really scary thing.
It's a good kind of scary.
Yeah. How do you approach that, thinking about playing with people you've never played with?
Well, a lot of listening. Mm-hmm. When I'm playing this type of music, it's usually the bass has a very functional role. You know, everyone has an idea in their mind what the bass sounds like in a song. It's holding down some sort of repeating pattern or a bass part or even walking for jazz. But there's so much freedom in this type of music that I can play with the bow. The bass could be the melody. The saxophone could be playing an accompaniment. I guess it involves a lot of interaction and sensitivity, and you know, you have a lot of freedom, but it doesn't mean you can just play anything you want all the time. You know, so it's very interactive and quite different than playing other types. I mean, you have to focus the whole time. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I can't check out.
Well, in thinking about Dave Rempus's music that you've heard, what are you most anticipating? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I look forward to the unexpected in this type of music. You know, I have to remain pretty engaged because I don't know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
You know, if you play the same music for years and years, you even if you're sort of distracted, sometimes great musicians can generate something that's nice. But in this, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what he's going to play, and he doesn't know what I'm going to play either.
Well, maybe to give people a little bit of a sense of the kind of music you're talking about, you brought a couple tracks to Cecil, and we're going to let Cecil surprise us. And so tell us who is playing on this.
Actually, this is, well, it's, I couldn't tell you, actually. I didn't get a track.
Dave Rimpus.
It's Dave Rimpus. Okay. It's, there's a couple tracks that were from some of his various groups. He has a number of groups. He's known for playing with the Vandermark Five, which is a pretty well-known group out of Chicago, but also various duos and trios and collaborations. So I got this via email. So
okay, we'll see what it sounds like. Yeah. Again, this is going to be Dave Rimpus and some other musicians. He is coming into Lafayette for a concert, Jazz Off Jefferson, this Friday with my guest Joseph Butts, who will be playing bass in the group. We'll listen to his music and come back and talk a bit more about the concert. Listening to saxophonist Dave Rimpus, who will be coming to Lafayette this Friday for a concert. My guest is Joseph Butts, who will be playing with the group, which will include Dave Rimpus, Jeff Albert, and Marcello Benetti. Dave Rimpus, as Joseph was saying, is from Chicago, has recorded widely, played with many, many different groups, and he will be performing again with these local musicians this Friday.
I actually believe that was Tim Daisy, the drummer who came last time, who we interviewed. That was a duo with him.
That's right. He played with Jeff Albert, and they play often together, don't they?
Yeah. Jeff travels to Chicago pretty frequently, and he brings musicians down for residencies, I guess. Mm-hmm. We booked several gigs, and I'm happy that he contacted me and we're able to sort of establish this connection. And these musicians, they're interested to check out Louisiana as well, just as much as I'm interested to check out their music.
Right, sending back to Louisiana from Chicago, where so many musicians went at the early part of the last century.
Right, so, listening to that track, it just made me think of a few things. I mean, there's these moments that happen in the course of organized music. You might hear something like that at the very beginning of a song or partially during a solo, but you can't really continue it. And a teacher had once told me he liked that part so much, he wished he could just keep going, and you can. You know, this, the part before the song, when everyone's just doing whatever, you know, playing very loosely. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of sounds that you can use on your instrument in this type of music that aren't really, they don't really work in sort of maybe a traditional setting, you know, because you're worried about playing a song or playing the melody or playing playing something that's very recognizable. And mm-hmm. I can't play the bass strings with a drumstick, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in a very traditional jazz setting or bow, mm-hmm. Three songs in a row, or make a, I guess would be called extended techniques.
Mm-hmm. When did you first get interested in improvisational jazz?
I think...
College.
Yeah. I mean, I've always had listened to jazz, and I think that probably, I think everybody's had the experience of just sitting in, if you're a musician, just sitting in a room and just making up things with other musicians and mm-hmm. just say that was pretty cool sounding, mm-hmm. And so it's very much like a process oriented thing, and sometimes I think it's best appreciated live because it's really unfolding before you. But I think probably taking a music appreciation class, you know, listening to different types of jazz, and you're like, I really like that. Like Ornette Coleman, for instance, is one of the early pioneers of what they called free jazz, and just really being attracted to that, the looseness of it, or the, you know, the lack of a structure. Some of it was structured, but just being able to put even more of your personality or improvisation into the music, because there's less structures.
Right. I think it's very important what you said. It's to be introduced to it, seeing it live is really helpful, because there's such a gracefulness to watching jazz performers, particularly when they're very improvisational, just watching the body language and just the way their bodies are. They're very, tuned into each other, and yet very, they've turned inward at the same time. And it's fascinating to watch them. I think it gives you a better appreciation for that kind of jazz.
Definitely. I mean, I know there's people who, wow, how did you create that? Last time we did the Instigation Quartets, which we had a set of instructions that were to start it off, but they weren't, I mean, it wasn't a page of, it wasn't 15 minutes worth of instructions. It's sort of, here's a starting point. So, but sometimes you'll just, you know, you hear something the horn player plays, and everyone can build something off that rhythmic idea or melodic idea, and all of a sudden it just comes to a stop, you know, like, and it just seemed like it was meant to be.
Like, what kind of instructions do you get? I think,
well, with the Instigation Quartet, it was something more along the lines of like bass, you know, begin with a melody, saxophone or trombone, you know, play a low accompaniment, drums come in later, just something very basic as a starting point, so that it's just gets the ball rolling. So and then often there's no instructions,
it's just free free form,
yeah.
Jazz. Well, I'm sure you've played a lot with a lot of different saxophone players. What do you like about Dave Rimpas's playing?
Well, like the energy, you know, and what we just heard there, that was, you know, it sort of got into this you know, almost Coltrane-esque, you know, this sort of really intense sheets of sound, these notes coming really quickly, and that's it's just an energy to the music. And actually, I think I've read in England and Europe that they called it energy music, you know, because it was associated with this very fast-paced, frantic thing. Like, I think we'd take it a few different places, but you know, I like to play with new musicians, and I like to play with people that I don't know what they're going to play, and they push me, and they're not holding back, or they're doing, especially for this kind of music, I don't think you can play if you're really reluctant or you're not really confident about what you should do, because it won't work unless you just are totally into it. Mm-hmm. And there are moments where you feel like maybe you snap out of it, and you're like, oh, I don't know, maybe, is that right? And you're like, no, I need to get back into it and listen. You know, there's, you can't really spend a lot of time evaluating.
Mm-hmm, being too internal.
Yeah, like, well, maybe that didn't work.
You do have to work as a group. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Joseph Butts. He is a teacher in the Gifted Program in Lafayette Parish, teaches young musicians, is also a working musician, also has his PhD in music from University of Texas at Austin, and is a graduate of UL Lafayette. So very, very talented, very rich musician, part of our community. He will be performing with Jazz Off Jefferson this Friday. Saxophonist Dave Rimpas is coming in from Chicago, and will be joining Joseph Butts, Jeff Albert, and Marcello Benetti for this group. And they're going to be surprising us. And
it's at 8:00. You know, I've known a few people. They really appreciate it. It may not be something that everyone puts on before they go to sleep at night, but in a live setting, it really has that. I think it can capture you with the energy of the moment.
Well, 8:00 on Friday, and do tell other people it's 8:00, so it's early enough for us all to go. 8:00 at Cité des Arts, Jazz Off Jefferson, this Friday. My guest Joseph Butts will be playing the bass, along with saxophonist Dave Rimpas, Jeff Albert on the trombone, and Marcello Benetti on drums. Thank you so much, Joseph.
Thank you, Judith.
And Now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, will hold a 5K family-friendly walk at River Ranch Town Square this Saturday, October 6th. Registration is at 8 and the walk begins at 9 in the morning. To register, you can go online at www.namiwalks.org/acadiana. That's namiwalks.org/acadiana. The Habitat for Humanity ReStore has new fall hours. This is a benefit for Habitat for Humanity, and anyone can go to ReStore. The fall hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. ReStore is at 215 East Pinhook in Lafayette. And again, it benefits Habitat for Humanity, but it is available to all. The continuing education program at UL Lafayette has a number of courses being offered this fall, including motivation courses, QuickBooks Pro, Excel 2010 Fundamentals, PowerPoint 2010, and many others. For more information or a complete listing of the programs, please go to ce.louisiana.edu or call their office on the UL campus at 482-6386. The Hilliard University Art Museum has a number of exhibits on display featuring all Louisiana artists, including Rhyme and Reason, The Art of Sean Major, Louisiana Voices, Six Artists Speak to Us, a collection of Louisiana watercolorists, and an installation by Lake Charles artist Ken Katara. In the Fletcher Hall building in the Dean's Gallery, there is an art auction right now to support student scholarships through the College of the Arts. All works have been donated by South Louisiana artists and art galleries. For more information, you can call the College of the Arts. The Center for Louisiana Studies has a number of programs this month that the public is invited to. This evening at the South Regional Library in Lafayette, there is a program on historic bridges. It's called the Historic Bridges Inventory. The Center for Louisiana Studies is presenting this program, the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development, in coordination with the Louisiana State Historic Preservation Office and the Federal Highway Administration, have commissioned this project to study historic bridges throughout Louisiana. They will be presenting photographs of these bridges and discussing what they'll be doing with them. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. It's a free program and open to the public. Tomorrow at 4 p.m. on the UL campus, Dr. Ray Brasseur, an anthropology professor, will be talking about his field, cultural anthropology, its current state and future opportunities. The series is held the first Thursday of the month at 4 p.m. It's free and open to everyone. On Wednesday, October 10th, in Dupré Library, Marcel Pronovost will present The Life of a Coureur de Bois, Mathieu Houillard. That will be at 3:30 in Dupré Library in the Ernest J. Gaines Center. For a complete listing of activities through the Center for Louisiana Studies, you can go to their website. And opportunities to find out more about the PACE program this evening, school board will be discussing the issue of PACE. If anyone would like to attend, it is open to the public. The McNeese Department of Visual Arts is hosting a free lecture and book arts workshop by Neil Cox, who is a professor of art in Texas. He will give a lecture about his prints and photographs. For more information, you can contact the McNeese Department of Visual Arts. This week is homecoming week on the UL campus. Lots of things have been going on all week. Paint the Town Red has continued today. Tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, the Yell Like Hell competition will be in Park International at 6:30 and is open to the public. Also tomorrow evening, the Wind Ensemble, the University Wind Ensemble, will give their annual homecoming concert. The title is Musical Games, in keeping with the theme of homecoming. It's at 8 o'clock in Angel Auditorium. It is free and open to everyone. The Tour du Teche 3 will begin tomorrow with a celebration in Port Barry's Veterans Memorial Park. There will be lots of music and lots of information about safety on the river and other kinds of information about the environment and keeping the river clean. On Friday, the Tour du Teche begins the race. The opening ceremonies are at 6:30 in the morning in Port Barry at the Port Barry Boat Launch. The race begins at 7. Actually, there are a couple different times for the races. For more information about the schedule, you can go to the website, which is tourdutesche.com. This There will be an opening for three artists in Bro Bridge tomorrow evening, Thursday evening, called Twa La La, featuring artists Virgie Banks, Megan Barra, and Michelle Fontenot. That opening reception is from 6 to 8 p.m. in Bro Bridge at Café des Amis. Itinerant Theatre presents a play by Carolyn Woosley, performed by musician Anne Savoy. It's about musician Cloma Falcon, who made some of the first Cajun recordings back in the 20s. The title of the play is Cloma, A First. It will be performed Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Annex at the Imperial Calcasieu Museum in Lake Charles. On Thursday, there will be a question and answer period after the play. On Friday, there will be a piece by Angela Wubin called Things from Our Past at 7. Cloma will be at 7:30, and the CD release party will be following the play. On Saturday, Cloma will be at 7, and at 8 o'clock, the Magnolia Sisters will be performing two sets of music. For more information or tickets, you can go to Itinerant Theater or call the Annex at the Imperial Calcasieu Museum in Lake Charles. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6 o'clock. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. In just a moment, we'll join NPR's All Things Considered.